If that is not your testimony tonight, that he has set me free, it can be your testimony tonight. The title of our few thoughts for tonight, The Slave and His Reward. Now, many of you here, by virtue of where you live, likely know quite a bit more about the history of slavery in America than what I do. I've read a number of books. And there are many stories about bad slave masters, and there's a few, I believe, about good slave masters. There were some that had the privilege of serving, working their way up and winning the heart of the master and serving right in the master's house. And some of those were treated just like family, and some were even allowed to go free. And there were others, probably a lot more, that were beaten and mistreated to the point of near death, and some even died at the hands of these cruel masters. They treated them worse than they would even treat their own animals. They were beaten. Tonight there's a word in the Bible that I found recently. It's the word servant. Not that I just found the word, but I was looking at its origin. And I'm not sure if I'm saying the Greek word correctly, but doulos is how I'm going to say it. But it simply means this, a slave, an bondman. And so we're going to think about that tonight. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6 to get us started. Romans chapter 6, verse 16, a familiar verse. I don't know if I'm going to be using slave with every word, but as far as I know, every chapter that we read, verses that we reference, you can insert the word slave or bondman where you see the word servant. Romans 6 and verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves to obey, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness, he says, don't you know that? Whoever you yield yourself to. And so it highlights right here in this verse that there's two different kinds of masters. And so therefore, there's two different kinds of slaves. And the difference between today versus the 1800s is that we have a choice. There were a number of people back in the 1800s that got boated over here from Africa and other areas, and they didn't have a choice. They were sold into slavery. They didn't have a choice. Most of them did not have a choice. We have a choice today of who we will be a slave to. And the masters are very different. The one is cruel, and the other one is gentle. Turn back to John chapter 8. We're going to read four verses. I'm going to spend a little bit of time turning to a few passages and talking about the cruel master first. True master needs no introduction. John 8, verses 31 to 34. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. He's saying, whoever commits sin is the slave of sin. And to illustrate that, I'm going to tell you about Susan. Susan was the mother of one of our employees a number of years ago. And I don't know how she got started on it, but she needed narcotic painkillers. And she would wear one doctor out and go to another doctor that would finally prescribe the meds that she thought she needed. The last I knew, which was a few years ago, she was still chasing doctors, driving 4 hours out of state to find a doctor that would feed her problem. She was a slave to drugs and was a cruel master. If she didn't have, well, when she had them, when she didn't have them, it was a cruel master. 2 Peter 2 and verse 19. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, the same is he brought into bondage. On the way down here, I was waiting for the flight to leave out of Charlotte. And this young man, I'm guessing about 30, came walking over through, looked like a very healthy young man, and he began to blurt something, and he talked, he was chewing gum, and I was like, well, he must be a little mentally impaired, I don't know. And so happened we get on the same airplane to come into Mobile, and he was walking ahead of me. I was the last person to board, and he was walking ahead of me, and he stumbled a little bit, and I was starting to feel a little sorry for him. And then, of all things, he was right almost across the aisle from me on the flight, and he promptly fell asleep, but when the beverage cart came around, he said, "May I have a Bud Light?" And then, 10 minutes later, he asked the steward, "May I have another Bud Light?" He was a slave to alcohol. That's why he was tripping around, and he was red in the face, and I began to say, "Oh, I know that." He was a slave to alcohol. He was a servant to that alcohol. Turn to Mark chapter 5. Mark 5, we'll read verses 1 to 9. Mark 5, verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And we'll stop there. I want you to get the picture that there's no way out of bondage to a cruel taskmaster without being delivered by Jesus Christ. You cannot get out yourself. It's impossible to free ourselves of their own power. I had a neighbor man about 20 years ago, and he went to a Mennonite church, and the Spirit was working on me to talk to him because I knew that their council service was coming up before their spring communion. And I went to talk to him because he had a pornography and a tobacco problem, and he was a member of the church. And he said, "You know, I want to do better. I want to get rid of this snuff. I want to get rid of these cigarettes. I really would like to do better." And I said, "Listen, you won't do better. You'll never win until you turn your life over to Jesus Christ. There's no way out." I don't know if he ever got out. You know, even after someone has been delivered, sometimes there is reaping, because there is a law that's in place for sowing and reaping. There is a reaping. And I believe part of that reaping can be that you may be tempted in an extra special, and I don't mean it by that, but you understand what I mean. You may be tempted more to return to that. 2 Peter 2, verse 22 says, "But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." And so we are bent to go back to those things, but we must be on guard if we've been delivered. This is, I don't want to discourage anyone by that, but it is a reality, it is a fact. I'm going to tell you about another man. Aaron Lathan is a man that we received contact through the Pilgrim Ministry website a number of years ago. His wife contacted us and asked us if we would go and visit him. He was in the prison, Peltsdale State Correctional Institute, on the mountain above where we live, our town, 20 miles up the mountain. And he had been there for a few years already. And so I got on his visitors list and had not been visiting him as faithfully as I should. But Aaron was an agnostic. He would say he was an atheist. He was raised in Texas, came to know the Lord, came to the church with the people at Lot, Texas. not share his real name because I'm sure he would be fine with me doing that. I know he would be. I know his heart. He moved on up into Lancaster County, and he said, but all along he had trouble rebelling against the church and church authority. He had 11 children, and Aaron fell into the terrible sin of immorality with one of his underage daughters. And he told me over the period of months, he thought he could do better, and he would kick this, he would get out of it. But he finally turned himself into the ministry and into the authorities, and he is incarcerated because of his sin he is reaping. He is a changed man today. I don't question that. But there was a reaping, and he could not get out of it himself without the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has a reaping. He has lost his family. His wife has filed for a divorce over a year ago. He had to give all that up because of his sin and because he did not. He tried to do it on his own. And we will not get out of bondage on our own power. All the world has to offer slavery to a master who doesn't care, who doesn't love. The allurements and the enticements of the devil don't show the bondage and the suffering that's attached. You know, the alcohol that's on the billboard shows a mountain, perhaps, and a stream, and it's just supposed to look just so peaceful and calm, and this is where you lose your senses and you enjoy life. The tobacco advertisements don't show that, but it was stamped in my mind as a young boy in the butcher shop where my dad worked. A man would come in, and he had a trach. I didn't know what a trach was, but I learned what it was then. It was that little pipe sticking out of his throat. And when he coughed, it sounded horrible. When he talked, it sounded horrible. But he had had throat cancer and had things removed because he was a smoker. It was bondage. There's no care or love in the master of the world. Well, tonight, both kinds of slaves, whether you're a slave to the wicked master, the cruel master, or the slave to the gentle master, both kinds of slaves have a few things in common. Life is ordered by the master. When you're a slave to the cruel master, your life is ordered by that master. You can't help it. You're powerless. And when you are a slave of the heavenly master, the gentle master, your life is ordered by the master. And we're going to talk about that in just a little bit, why it is that way. Secondly, slaves are known by their master. You know, back in the times of slavery, I read that the people in the 1800s, they weren't really known by their name. They were known by whose slave they were. Oh, you're so-and-so's slave. That's how we're known today. We lose our identity. In the world, you're a slave of the devil, or the gentle master, people will say, you are a slave. We don't call it that. That's what it is. We are a servant. We lose our identity to our master. The slave does the work of their master. And then, fourthly, the slave is rewarded by their master accordingly. Romans 1, verse 1 says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God. Paul, a slave of Jesus Christ. And there's more of these. I'm just going to touch a few. Jude, verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Look what that slave has. Preserved in Jesus Christ. Galatians 1, verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. We're here to please Christ if we are the servant of Christ. We don't please men. Colossians 4, verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. This is slavery to a kind, gentle master. Those are all very nice things in these verses I just read. I'd like you to turn a while to John chapter 20. Mary Magdalene had been in subjection to a cruel master earlier in her life before she met the master, Jesus Christ. Luke 8 and verse 2, it says, and certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. She had been a slave to the devil, but Jesus had delivered her. The gentle master had delivered her. Now look here in John chapter 20, There's some beautiful verses here. And the scene is resurrection morning, verse 11 through 16. But Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seek thou? She supposing him to have been the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou had borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Mary had gone to the sepulchre to check on the body of her master. And the tomb was empty, and she began to weep. This man Jesus had delivered her from this cruel master. That is why I think the ache was especially difficult or strong in her heart. But now he's nowhere to be seen, and this man that she turned around and sees, she thought had to be the gardener. It wasn't the gardener. And then you see her response, Rabboni, which means my great master. The bond was not a bond of bondage, the bond that she had with this master. This was love. She had love to this master. This was the gentle master. Ephesians 6, verses 6 and 7. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as the Lord and not to men. And what I want to highlight, what I see here, is that it's a love relationship, rather than one of contrasting a fear. The servant that serves the cruel master also needs to be a men pleaser, which is a fear that goes along with that. Service to men is motivated by fear. Service to the gentle master is motivated by love. I want to turn back yet to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and read verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And you may say, what does that have to do with it? I found interesting that word simplicity means sincerity and singleness of heart. He warned them, be careful, watch out for that serpent, just like he deceived Eve. Your minds can be corrupted from the singleness of heart that is in Christ Jesus. This master demands singleness of heart. He requires singleness of heart. And the love to him, our love to him, will manifest itself in singleness of heart. Now I'd like to hurriedly go into the rewards of the masters. Galatians 6 and verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Turn with me to Luke chapter 16. I can hardly talk about the rewards without reading these verses. It's a terrible story on the one hand, but on the other hand, it opens up our eyes. Luke 16, I'm just going to quickly read verses 19 to 31. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send them to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Now, I just want us to see the contrast of the rewards. We're not going to take much time. But the one was in a place of bliss. Lazarus was in the arms, in the bosom of Abraham. He was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, a place of rest and comfort. And the rich man was in torments. What would a drop of water do to a parched tongue? I don't know. But that's what he asked for. I want to turn now to Revelation 14. We're going to spend the rest of our time just reading a few verses out of Revelation. Revelation 14, verse 11. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. We have the torment of the reward of the cruel master. The servants of the cruel master, it's torment. And I want to tell you, I believe the wicked that are there now or that will be there will just wish they could die and pass off the scene. I'm going to read some more verses. Turn back to chapter 20, verses 10 to 15, Revelation 20. And the devil that deceiveth them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Just like you look on down chapter 21 and verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. One terrible place. Just let your minds wander. I know it's terrible. Just think of intense heat, fire, brimstone, a sulfur odor. You will have, the person that's there will have a memory, I believe, because the rich man remembered. Abraham said, Son, remember. There's going to be a memory. You're going to have flesh being eaten but not consumed. It says, the worm dieth not. In Mark 9, several times it says, where the worm dieth not. And that word worm actually means maggot. I know it's terrible, it's gross to think of, but I believe the part of the torment is going to be the flesh decaying, but it won't decay. And there's just a terrible eating away of the flesh. Continual torment. There's going to be grinding of teeth because of this torment. And I believe also you're going to be able to see those that are in the bliss of heaven. I can't even imagine tolerating this for 5 minutes. But it tells us this is forever. This is not going to end. The reward of the cruel master. We can't end there. There's the reward of the gentle master, and his reward is also forever. Stay there in Revelation. I've got to read one verse out of 1 John 2, verse 25. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. That is a promise. That is a commitment. He has promised us eternal life, not eternal death. We have eternal life to look forward to. Now I want to read a number of verses out of Revelation 21, verses 10 to 12. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto the stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and 12 gates, and the gates 12, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And we can go on, but for sake of time, we're going to skip forward to verses 22 to 27. And I saw no temple there, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall be in no wise, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. I want you to also see verse 14 of chapter 22. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. And we have evidence, because back in Genesis, God said, now we've got to get them out of the garden, talk about Adam and Eve, lest they eat the tree of life and live forever. So we know this will be forever, and it will be a blissful state. Verse 17 yet. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. And this is probably the final invitation in the scripture here. And life eternal is for whosoever will. We don't need to be in bondage to an evil master. We don't need to reap eternal death and suffering. Deliverance and eternal reward are available. I know that may sound casual to say it's available, but that's what it is, because our Heavenly Father never forces himself on somebody. He has not yet. But there's coming a day where he will be forced on us. Every knee is going to bow one of these days, and every tongue will confess, and then we will see the judgment of the Heavenly Father like we have not seen heretofore. Do you want the promise of the reward of eternal bliss, future bliss? You may have that gift. Romans 6, verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Tonight, it is your choice. It is our choice which master we are going to serve.